Morning, everyone. Passages came to mind. You remember last week, those of you who were here, what the title of the message was, A New Beginning. And I thought I was been thinking about a new beginning and what is the best beginning that anyone could do or take ownership of. And God's word, I read this passage from John 3, and Jesus tells us very clearly the best beginning that anyone would have is to be born again. Because without being born again, you can't claim the promises that God has given is all a chance to own and take ownership of, because you're not in the family. So I'm going to read the passage first, and then we'll pray, and then we'll come to the message. Reading John 3, 1 through to 13. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with me and you'll encourage me and strengthen me and embolden me, Lord, to deliver this message with your power, because we only want to hear from you this morning, Lord. You're the only one that can speak and touch our lives. So we ask that you feed us from your word, Lord, and that you encourage us, discipline us where we need it, rebuke us if we need it. But Lord, as you always do, you do it with your grace, your mercy, and your tenderness, and your love. Because you only discipline those you love, and you love your children. So Lord, we just commit this message to you and feed your sheep from it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people think it's an onerous task to bring a message. It's hard to bring a message, but it is such an honor to study God's word and to meditate upon it. And the blessings that you get when you're putting a message together. John 3 is probably known to most of you here this morning. It's the story of an individual who the Lord met. And you know, it's a great thing to meet the Lord. I know many of us here have met the Lord in many forms. In John 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Now I want you to notice here that Jesus spoke to this man, and three times he told him, you must be born again. And I suggest that, I know if the Lord visited me in the middle of the night and woke me up, and he was standing at the foot of my bed, and he said something to me as I woke up from my sleep, and unbelievingly, and there he stood at the foot of the bed and he spoke to me once, I think I would listen to him, wouldn't you? But Jesus came to Nicodemus at night, and he didn't say it once, he said it three times to him, you must be born again. Now if Jesus says something to you once, listen. If he says something twice, you better listen. And if he says it three times, and you believe that he's speaking to you, I would urge you not only to listen, but to respond to what he is saying to you. Here is what he is saying to Nicodemus and to anyone who doesn't know the Lord. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Have you ever heard those words? There's a story of a minister who was preaching on these very words. And at the end of the service, as he stood at the front door shaking hands with people as they departed from the service, a man came up to him and said, thank you, but do you realize that you wasted a lot of time there? He says, what do you mean? Couldn't you use your time better? He says, what do you mean? The man says, well, you repeated over and over and over again. You must be born again. You must be born again. There are a whole lot of other things you could have said in that half hour. To which the minister replied, do you know why I did that? The man said, no. The minister said, well, because you must be born again. And it's true, isn't it? You know, sometimes we've got to get to the point. And I mean, I'm sure that poor guy went away thinking about it and meditating upon it, and God willing, acting upon what he had heard. Do you know this morning that it's essential to be born again, to accept all of the blessings that are contained within the gospel of Christ? And we know, I've left off the important verse from John 3, which I'll say now. And it's not up there because it should be in here. And I think most of us know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. The gospel is an essential. Now, I'm not asking everybody here to understand what it means to be born again, but I am asking, have you ever heard it? Or have you shut your ears, your eyes, and your heart to the very fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Maybe you don't understand what it means to be born again. Well, I hope with God's help this morning to shed a bit of light on it. We've talked about light, and where do we get light from? The light of the world, Jesus, from his word. The Bible informs us that man was created in the image and the likeness of God. And we all know the first man was Adam. He knew God. He knew the things of God. He had a will to delight God in what he was doing. And he loved to be with God. But then we read on further in Genesis 3, 1-3. We read, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from any tree in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Quite specific instructions, straight, clear, and concise. No, none to, but we know in our own hearts when we do something wrong that we've got that idea from somewhere. The old Satan has slung a hand grenade in there. And that's what Satan did here in Genesis. Satan said, "Go on, taste it, you won't die." Who did they listen to? Well, when you look at the scripture, they took and they ate the fruit. So obviously, they disobeyed God. And it says in scripture, from that moment, sin meant that death came upon all of creation. From that moment on, men were no longer in the exact image of their Creator God. That was known as the fall. Man and woman have fallen from the glory where God had created them for. He had created them to be like Him, to walk with Him, talk with Him, do all the things like their Creator God. But they fell and were marred. And God's beautiful design and picture was defaced. That's what the Bible means when we read these words in Psalm 51, verse 5. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Now that suggests to me that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's something that we have got to deal with. And we'll never deal with it on our own. We need to be born again. We need Jesus on our side if we're going to get through. That's what Paul means, though, when he says to us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that's the reason we must be born again, to overcome our sin. Jesus went to the cross and He bore our sin on that cross. But it's a waste if you don't believe and accept the gift that our Heavenly Father offered us, the gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus. I wonder, do you see yourself that way? Do you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? It's through the gospel that the image that God stamped upon His creation can be restored on each of us. The Bible tells us that the only way that can happen is that the Holy Spirit comes back into the life of the man and the woman and restores the life that God once gave to man and woman, restores it into those who are spiritually dead. The Bible calls it new birth. Some versions call it new life. Jesus calls it being born again. To be regenerated, rejuvenated even as well. To have your life revived within your soul. To have the Spirit of God come into your heart and breathe new life into everything that is dead. The Lord Jesus says to you, as He said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If I were to ask all you here this morning, if you wanted to see the kingdom of God, how many of you would like to go to heaven? I'm sure that, well, I'd hope that every hand would be raised, but many hands would be raised. Oh, there may be arguments about how we get there, of course, what we need to do, But I'm not talking about that. There's a desire within the soul of each person, within the heart, that when we die, and I say when we die, not if we die, because we're all going to die one day, and we all hope that we go to be with God. You hear people talking, you know, they've lost someone. Oh, well, they're in heaven now. Thing is, are they born again? Well, I'm sure you all know that every creature that is born into this world has a nature after its own kind. In other words, you can train a bird to crawl. Or you can't train a bird to crawl, even. Read my own title, it's terrible. Or a snake to fly. Because they are true to the nature that God designed. A bird flies. Caterpillars, on the other hand, they crawl, but then they're turned into a chrysalis, and after struggling for a while, they spread their wings, and they can fly. What do we say? Do we say, boy, what a clever caterpillar? Look at that caterpillar. What has it accomplished? It must have read a book on flying. No, you don't say that. Why? Because we all know it's its nature. It's what it was designed. Caterpillars change into butterflies. You could say it's been born again. It's been transformed. Don't you see, if you're a sinner, and we're all sinners, we've just read from Paul, the Bible says so. And if we're not born again, if we're not saved, we might as well try and breathe new life into a mummy in a tomb, or try to make ourselves good enough to obtain entry into heaven. It will never happen. You cannot do it. It's impossible. Just as water finds its own level, and we all know, put water on the floor, it spreads out. It can never rise above its own level. Jesus tells us in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You know, in the passage we read, it's also told us that to which is born of the flesh is flesh. And you know, there are hundreds and thousands of people in this world who, because of their upbringing in a religious background, no matter what the denominations were, or even in the Muslim faith or any other faith, they think that if they carry out the traditions of that faith and they do it diligently, that's your ticket to heaven. Wrong. What did Jesus say? You're going to be sick of me for this. You'll remember this one. That which is born of flesh is flesh. No good. It's no good. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. You know, you can't cultivate it. You can't look after it. You can't dress it up. You can't refine yourself or your soul. Whatever it may be, you can't send it to church. You can make it religious. But the Word of God says that you can never breathe life into your soul. You might as well try to lift yourself up by your shoelaces as to try and generate new life that will bring salvation. Without the Holy Spirit's help, it's impossible. You know, entry to the kingdom of heaven, you can't do it, not on your own. Now there are people who rush around everywhere, people who are the salt of the earth, who will do anything and give anything to anybody. They'll try anything to become spiritual, to be accepted by God. And the sad thing is, you don't have to do a thing apart from humble yourself and make yourself available to Him and ask Him to come into your life. You know, we have heard of people who whip themselves, cut themselves, walk through rough ground, crawl over broken rocks and bare knees until they bleed. They pray and fast. They do all sorts of things to try and enter the kingdom or to get them closer to God. But God said, oh, that men and women here would listen, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's only hope. And the only hope that a lot of people grasp, which is silly, really, when you think of it. But they think that, well, when they die, they'll go to heaven, they'll get to the pearly gates, and God or Peter will be there, and he'll weigh up their good bits and their bad, and they'll put them on the balance, and they may just slip in by the skin of their teeth. Well, there's not a chance. No chance at all. I repeat again, you can shout at me if you want, you must be born again. That's the only way you'll ever get into heaven. My question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust Him? I believe that this message needs to be understood. Are you going to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I realize that I need to be born again of the Spirit of God? And I can't do it on my own. Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. Have you realized that? Have you realized that you need to look to Calvary where Jesus died for you? Because He loved you. All you need to do is to turn away from your sin and repent. That means to turn away and to turn to God and be done with your sin. It won't be a once and for all thing, because you'll need to go back daily and confess and be revived. But He will sustain you and He will give you the ability. You will need to come by faith and say, Lord, I am trusting in the cross alone and what you did on the cross alone. Nothing to do with me. He doesn't need you or me, but we need Him. We must be born again. You know, when we were born, each one of us, our parents went to a registry office and registered our birth. And we've all got birth certificates to prove that we belong to a family. Once you're born again, your Heavenly Father goes to His registry, the Lamb's Book of Life, and pens your name in there. But that name only goes in there if you're born again. And if your name's not in that register, you ain't getting in. It's as simple as that. So if you don't remember anything else about this message today, I am sure you'll remember that you must be born again. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel that is so simple. In the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for your precious gift, your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to go through that suffering. Not just the cross and the pain of that, but the suffering of separation from the Father to enable us to come back into fellowship with Him. Lord, we ask your blessing now as we go our separate ways, and pray that none will leave this building without knowing Christ as their own and personal Savior. And for this, we ask and pray in His precious name, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.